Venerable bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is dukkha, suffering. It is one of the truths Buddha realized, and of all the truths the most important. Why I say most important? Because the other truths, like the cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering, they are all outcome of suffering, or connected with suffering. Buddha defines suffering in the Dhamma Chakka Sutta, Wheel of Dhamma. He defines suffering as birth. To be born over and over again is suffering. He also defines suffering as the old age one is subject to do, that also leads to suffering. He also defined as suffering sickness. When one is subject to sicknesses, he suffers. He also defined as suffering death. Dying is also suffering. Not only to the person who is subject to the death, also to those who are associated with him. He said, then again, as an individual, to part from loved ones is suffering. As an individual, to associate with those whom this individual does not like is also suffering. He also said that when individual wishes to possess something, then if he cannot possess that, that ends to suffering, that leads to suffering. That's the definition given by Buddha. And after giving this definition, he summarized suffering as the five grasping group. That is something which one must give thought to. That is something which you must think with your developed mind. Buddha has always said and emphasized not to accept things as they are, but you to think for yourself, why this happened like that. But there is a good thing for you to think, and that is why did Buddha summarize suffering as the five aggregates. There must be a cause for it. You all accept the fact that birth is a dukkha because very existence is dukkha, according to the Buddhist philosophy. And we accept that. So to be born over and over again, the result of dukkha, you are subject to suffering. We also admit the fact that to grow old is also is suffering because you are not in a physically fit condition to perform things which you like or which you are used to as a young man. Then you know that sickness is suffering, but one is subjected in his young age or youthful condition or when he is old, any state, if one is subject to sickness, he suffers. Then death is also quite obvious. One suffers, some person subject to death also, those associated with him too suffers. Then he gives three other instances where one is subject to suffering, and those are to part from loved ones is suffering, to associate with those one would not like is suffering, and to deprive you of a thing which one would like to possess is also suffering. Now, if you ask the question, if one is only mind and body and performing the normal tasks, the body directed by the mind, would there be a suffering of that nature? The body being directed by the mind to perform certain activities. Karma has created this so-called body for you, and desire has brought about this mind to be associated with this body. If that is so, would these instances of suffering would be realistic? Is cause and effect and nothing else? If they are owner to that? If they are an author to your activities? Is that a person sincerely responsible, subject to the suffering as such? If it is body and mind, these are two activities performing their task as cause and effect. One may be subject to certain conditions. That's the cause and effect and nothing else. That sort of valuation will not make one to suffer as an individual. If only you take upon yourself, believe in yourself as an individual, possessing this body and mind, then naturally this individual is a person who is subject to constant births. This individual is the person who is subject to sickness. This individual is the person who is subject to old age. This individual is the person who is subject to death. And this individual is the person who is parting from a loved one. This individual is the person who is associating with the person whom he doesn't like. And it is this individual who wants his requirement fulfilled. Is there a clear indication that in these instances quoted by Buddha, subjecting oneself to suffering, that there is this individuality, the so-called being whom you have created in the mind, who is subject to this suffering? Isn't it this false belief that you have created in your mind, that you are so-and-so's son or daughter, and this individual, I am so-and-so and existing in this world, therefore all that happens to you, you own it yourself as a sufferer. If it is cause and effect, there's no such ownership. That's the cause arose and effect arose and passed away. And isn't that the reason why Buddha summarized suffering as the five aggregates? What do the five aggregates do? The five aggregates creates in you a being. And it is this being who is suffering. The body and mind which you possess due to cause and effect are not existing in that temperament, in the acceptance of the truth that they are body and mind causally created. The mind has created in you a complete false view that you are a being, that you are the author of all activities, that the suffering which is just a cause and an effect has been taken upon yourself as the person who is subject to the suffering. Isn't that the reason why Buddha said that he summarizes suffering as the five aggregates? I may not dwell in detail about the five aggregates because we have dealt with that subject in the past and created before you a fair picture about these aggregates, their performance, and also the misleading aspect created by the five aggregates in an individual. And Buddha here definitely lays the whole aspect of suffering with an individual is subjected to this false creation of by the five aggregates, that there is a being within you and he is the person who is subject to this suffering. After all, the mind has created that. Mind has taken upon itself the creation of this being. And this is a delusion created by the consciousness. What is the purpose in creating a delusion of this nature by the consciousness? For continuity. The world must continue to exist. And the only way the world to continue in this manner is to make those occupying the world feel that they are all individuals living in this world. The deception, the delusion created by the mind is so intricate that even the world that is around you, you have been the author of the creation. But do you believe that? You believe your eyes, you believe your ears, you believe your nose, you believe your tongue, you believe your body, and you believe your mind. And what they create, you accept. But realistically and reasonably, you go into these aspects, you will see that the philosophy taught by Buddha that this world is a creation by us in our imagination is absolutely true. It is a thought that helps you to know anything, either in the way of seeing or hearing or knowing or smelling or tasting or contacting or thinking, the thought. And this consciousness is capable of creating thoughts, completely misguiding you, completely creating delusions in you, with one object in view, and that is that this world which it has created around you should exist. It is a creation by the consciousness. And this is the supporting links which makes any individual living in this world to feel that he is living in a world, whereas he is creating a world for himself and living in that delusion. So that Buddha clearly stated that this delusion of created by the five grasping groups in the way of author to all your activities is suffering. If there is no person suffering, there are certain incidents that arise and pass away as cause and effect. Who takes upon oneself the responsibility or the authorship of those activities? No one. They arise and pass away, that's all. Stretch your imagination to that extent, logically. If there is no person who is responsible for anything, it just has occurred and passed away. Where is the suffering? There is no sufferer. Something has occurred and something has passed away. Maybe your mind and the body may have contributed to that. And the mind is energy, body is also energy. Is the reaction of energy, nothing else has cause and effect. Why should one suffer? Who is this sufferer? No one. And you know now that this sufferer has been created by the consciousness. In every act of experiencing something through a sense base, this consciousness has created a situation where you fall into a fabricated notion that act committed by you is committed by the author, by the so-called being within you. When in fact, and it is clear even in the doctrine that all our activities are committed as a result of cause and effect. Now, our struggle is also to get rid of this wrong notion. Initially, of course, we examine the mind and body acting together and committing certain acts and satisfy ourselves with the obvious exposition by the mind that the mind directs the body to perform acts and it just blindly performs those acts. Then to support that further, you also analyze all your activities as cause and effect. Effect is what you have done. Cause is why you are doing it. The mind is creating that for you. The cause and effect. We can't forget the fact that Buddha has clearly stated that this consciousness is a conjurer. All that he does is creating a world for us to live. That world is not your world, his world, the creator's world. Who creates a consciousness? And you are made to believe that this so-called being, which is a fiction, which is completely a fabrication, which is completely a delusion, is the author of all our activities. Therefore, if you summarize the whole issue, we create the author and take upon ourselves as responsible for all that the mind feels, all that the body acts. Whereas in truth, mind directs the body to perform certain activities, and this performance is done as cause and effect and nothing else. Who is then the author? Who is then the creator of these activities? Who commit these activities? No one commit them. If no one is committing those activities, who is going to suffer? There is no sufferer here. And distinctly said that in suffering there is no sufferer, is only cause and effect and nothing else. I mean, you solve the entire problem before you as to what this delusion is that we are misled from birth up to the death, and even further leading life after life, still believing in a false fabrication by the mind. We can realistically analyze this suffering as something which has been mentally created under delusion that there is a being in you and that being is subject to this suffering. And Buddha very rightly said, this is suffering, that is suffering, that is suffering, that is suffering. But he said, I summarize suffering as the five aggregates. What is the five aggregates? Well, with the education you have got already about the five aggregates, you know these five aggregates creates a being in you. That's the delusion created by the psyche, by the mind, consciousness. Then let us go a little further. What is the cause of suffering? Desire. Who created the desire? If your activities are committed as a result of cause and effect, who is the creator of the desire? Where is the desire? If logically you have to admit the fact, brothers and sisters, that a desire is created by a person who is subject to the desire, there cannot be just a desire created. Who desires? If there is no one to desire, there is no desire. Because you have created desire, there is desire. Desire to see, desire to hear, desire to smell, desire to eat, desire to think, desire to... All these are activities which the desire is promoting. And desire too is fed by these activities, because such a creation promotes more and more of desire. But those activities create the desire on the false foundation that there is a person desiring in you. If there is no person desiring in you, who sees and who desires to see more? Who hears and who desires to hear more? Who smells and wants more smelling done of that nature, something pleasant, and create also an aversion to something unpleasant? Who wants to have more and more tastes? The taste is something which one experiences. If there is no one to experience, what is this taste you are tasting? And what is contact you are feeling? And you are creating even the thoughts, you see, which are causally created, as somebody who is creating them. And this is the result of desire. You can't forget the fact, brothers and sisters, Buddha has distinctly said, and unless one sees the end of the world, that you will never experience Nibbana. What is this world, end of the world? The world which you have created as a fictitious person. You realize now that there is no one in this creation, it's a mere creation, and you have come to a false conclusion that it is somebody's creation. And that somebody is within you, he is the being responsible for the creation. And he creates. Why? How does he create? Because this imaginary person feels. That is your belief, that he feels. He feels for what? He likes something pleasant. He dislikes something unpleasant. And these two create the desire. Who likes? Who dislikes? This imaginary person you have created. If there is no person created in your mind, will there be a like and a dislike? There can't be a like and a dislike. It occurs, arises and passes away, that is all. Who is liking it? There is no one liking in you. That is, you have created that being in you, these five grasping groups created by the consciousness, to mislead you, to take you along this world, birth after birth, as a being in this world. You fell into this false creation. You believed this false creation. You lived in this false creation. You in your mind grasped this false creation so well that all that you experience as cause and effect, you have put upon this so-called being who is the person who is subject to this cause and this activity. As a result, this imaginary person, whom you imagine to be in you, he is subject to the suffering. Buddha clearly stated, brothers and sisters, it is in this fathom of body and mind is your suffering. It is in this fathom of body and mind is the cause of suffering. It is in this fathom of body and mind the cessation of suffering, and it is this fathom of body and mind is the path leading to the suffering. What does that indicate? What does that indicate, brothers and sisters? The solution about your difficulty, about your suffering in this world, is not anywhere else, it is in your mind and body. Solve it for yourself. And he gives us ample evidence in support of his conclusion that there is no being in you except that you are imagining yourself as a being and taking upon yourself activities which are committed as a result of cause and effect as activities committed by yourself. And it is not so. Because to the feeling you have created as a being, that you have created desire. What is the feeling? Like and a dislike. Who likes? Who dislikes? If there is no one, brothers and sisters, in you, there is no like and dislike. Like and dislike is committed by somebody individually feeling about it that way. That is why he said, when you see something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. When you hear something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. When you smell something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. When you taste something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. When you contact something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. And when you think about something, avoid the mind creating the like and the dislike. Who created the like and the dislike? That individual says, avoid that happening. Buddha has always said that be a light unto yourself. There's no one who can help you in solving this problem. Merely because somebody says so, that there is no person, no individual in you, you just can't believe it and just live in that belief. No. It is something that must come out of your mind as a result of fully convinced that there is no one living in you. It's not a belief, but a conviction. The conviction is greater than belief, because you are convinced as a result of supporting evidence. Belief is just on the surface. When somebody says something, you believe it. Therefore, you must be convinced this. And how are you going to convince yourself with this? That there is no being in you. And is that the only problem you are confronted with? There's no other problem. It is creation that is creating all this trouble for you. And that is one thing that you have to carefully look into, dukkha. Therefore, we must not just blindly say no to a thing or blindly say yes to a thing. Think for yourself. Who is doing this? Who is doing that? No one doing that. I've also given an example to you that there are certain people who bring under their control certain other people who are weak in mind and made them to perform activities as dictated by them under trance. And I gave you an example where a man holds a pencil close to the skin of the other person and say, I am going to burn you now with a red hot iron. He foolishly believes that because he is under the trance of this person, and he creates a situation thereby crying out as this pencil touches his body that he is feeling the burn. And so much so that some people even develop reactions in the skin as a result of the burn. It's a belief. The belief is so much in your mind that you have no doubt about it, and you are living in that. You are living, your body is living in that, your very self is living in that, your mind is also living in that. You are just living in that. The creation is so firm in you. The creation is so convincingly proved to you in your own way, and you have accepted it and live in it. As a result, all new activities you heap on this person, I, created in my mind as the owner of this body, owner of this thinking, who is doing everything, where this body and the mind is concerned, this person is responsible. If, for instance, we'll ask this question, Buddha gave all these details for us to reasonably understand that there is no individual being in us. All our activities are committed as cause and effect. That there is no sufferer, there is suffering. Suffering is you feel. If there is a pain, you feel the pain. If there is something, that is the reaction of the mind to the activity. But the ownership of that suffering as I am suffering, I am happy, that is something which you have created. Even an arahant suffers. If arahant is subject to sickness, he suffers from that sickness. But he has given up the idea of I and mine. No longer exists him, neither believes in this fallacy. Buddha suffers. Buddha has suffered on many occasions as a result of ailments occurring in him. That is the reaction of the mental and physical. The fine aspect of that is that there is no one owning that as I, mine. That is the aspect that you have to be very careful about to clear from your mind, that there is no person as such. That is why other religions, they pursue this so-called feeling in you as soul. The mind feels. And there's some permanent feature in this aspect. It continues to exist. It continues to exist so that it can be everlasting. And Buddha has proved that it is not so. Once you have cleared the basic defilements one can clear, then the final aspect of your development is the mind. That is the power, mental power that remains, and you have to deal with that. You are not feeling the body now. You left the body when you developed the third absorption. In a state of tranquility, you don't feel the body. Then Buddha clearly gives you a path to follow. Where you pitch your mind to a higher level at the final stages of your development, it enables you to understand the belief, whether that belief you had harbored so long is true or not true. If it is true, then the mind must exist right throughout without creating any situation where the mind is not present. And you go on, analyze the mind further and further and further, analyze as something subject to constant change, something not substantial, something which is not a soul. You go on analyzing it carefully, 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 carefully. When you have transcended your mind to a higher state, when you have cleared the defilement that basically tie you down to this earthly life as a worldling, when you reach the stages when you have to deal with this mind ultimately, now that you have completed your task with regard to your body, then in that you begin to see the part played by the mind carefully. This mind is also subject to the three realities of impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness. You analyze it. If it has any permanency, if it is a soul, if it is a self that is ever existing and everlastingly exists, then there cannot be a dissolution of this so-called power at the developed stage of your mind. This power you are now watching and treating as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless. Clearly analyzing it,
really understanding, of course it also then reaches a very, very weak stage and disappears. Where are you? You have no mind, you have no body. What is there? The void. That is the state when one reaches where one has completely dealt with the mind as again a cause and effect and nothing else. And then the final realization dawns to you when the maturity of the void reaches its peak. Therefore, from the beginning to the end, very end, brothers and sisters, you see, it is a creation we are dealing with. Who created this? Your mind created it. We have lived in the deception, we have been born in deception. We have been born thousands and thousands of times in this worldly way, as human beings, as four-legged animals, various types of animals, various types of insects, various types of, let's say, in the animal kingdom, various species of animals we have lived. We have also gone to heaven with the false belief of a person living in you, and he is the owner of that heavenly existence. We have gone to the luminous worlds there too with the false belief that there is a being in you, and you have pitched your mind to a higher level where you can enjoy such benefits as a luminous world. But ultimately we realize that none of those places are permanent. They are all temporary residence for you. You stay and you pass away to something else. And the karmic forces which you have committed, who committed? You committed. That's the false impression you have created. Because of the planting of the you into all your activities, you have taken upon the responsibility of facing the reaction of such activities. If it is cause and effect, there would have been nothing. But then you would not be committing any wrong. Because there is desire. Desire has created the liking and the dislike. That is the base of desire, foundation of desire, and the person who likes and dislikes, you go on committing acts. Some of them are harmful. You commit the act. You suffer from the harmful. You get the blessings of those activities which you have committed as good acts. And this is the life you have been leading, completely in a delusion that there is a person within you, and it is this person within you who is the author of all your activities, when it is not so. Yours is a mass of cause and effects and nothing else. Both with the undeveloped mind, with a mind living a worldly life, basic life, experiencing things good and bad, experiencing always something present or unpleasant, but would always like to have something comfortable, something pleasant, that urge is there. The result is that you have in your own way created this situation for yourself. That is why Buddha says there is no one responsible for this situation created for you, no one responsible for this sick suffering you are undergoing. You are the author of all this. Therefore the solution to this riddle lies in you. You solve it for yourself. Seek refuge from inside you. There is no one outside who can help you except to guide you by saying, this has happened this way, just think about it. And you are the author of that thought. You have to think and satisfy yourself with whether that what is told is true or not true. Your resolution or your conclusion. So this is the truth, brothers and sisters. Give thought to this. What is suffering? This so-called thing, suffering, that is ever present in every object in this world. Of course, there is no consciousness in inanimate objects, you see, to feel this. But we have the consciousness, therefore we feel it. But you find the tree also grows, bears fruits and spread the fruit here and there, and again the start growth again. That is how it develops itself, its continuity in the world. Of course, it is also due to waste, due to old age. It grows up to a period, you see, and then die, because that is the span of life given to that tree. That's the nature's commitment. And you have then, of course, sicknesses, various sicknesses can occur in the tree also, you see. Various things can happen and destroy the tree in its growing age. I should say that it is exactly the same, but the situation of that exists, confronting itself with incidents where if one takes upon oneself the suffering, it also can suffer in the same way, like yourself. Therefore, this is something which you have to think carefully. And I always say Buddha clearly emphasized that it is thinking that made him to be Buddha. The thinking that produced the wisdom. It is analysis on your own, reasonably, that convince you of the truth. And it is such analysis, truthfully done, will ultimately lead to a liberation also. If you are just a believer of things, you will never escape from this cycle of birth. You yourself must be able to take upon yourself the responsibility of saying, yes, I know, I am convinced that this is so. It's just not a belief because somebody said so. I believe so and so. No, that is not sufficient for you to escape from this cycle of birth. You have to very boldly say, I know, I believe it, I saw, I realized it. That is the thing that is realistic. That is what is important. That is why we always advise you to think. Just not be led by somebody's statement that this is so. Sit and think for yourself. Is it so? If it is not convincing, don't accept it. If it is convincing, accept it. That's the essential thing. After all, bear in mind, Buddhism is a path for you to follow reasonably, not blindly. Buddha has never classified himself as a great being or a great power who is instilling into you something which he wants you to believe in. No. Buddha only places facts before you, analyzes clearly many things for you to yourself satisfy whether such analysis is acceptable or not. And if such analysis given shown to you by Buddha is not to your satisfaction, you have the option to leave them aside. Just don't live in that because Buddha has said so. That is the thing that you have to realize. It is such a person who realizes the truth. If you are just a believer, whatever Buddha said, you are ready to believe. Surely, I know it's a holy respect to the great being. But that is not the attitude Buddha expects of you. Merely because I say so, he says, don't believe. Think for yourself. Because it is thinking that has led me to reach this height as Buddha. Therefore, that principle applies to you also clearly. Analyze dukkha in that manner. Frankly, if you take out this aspect, this creation by the five grasping groups of a being in you, if that is taken out, is there any dukkha? Is there any sufferer? There are incidents happening as cause and effect. But you would not own such incidents as your own creation or that you are subject to such creations. It is something happening, that's the end of it. Cause and effect. And that unnecessary suffering which you are subject to yourself is due to this foolish acceptance of the notion that there is a being in you. And that aspect is created in your mind by the five grasping groups, brothers and sisters. Five grasping groups, and that is a consciousness. Consciousness in creating circumstances for you to make use of the sixth sense basis and experience things through them. Consciousness also creates the person who experiences such things. This fabrication by the consciousness, this delusion created by the consciousness is completely misleading you. And you take upon yourself that what you derive from that is yours, you enjoy it. And what you do not derive from that as expected by you is something which hurts you. You, person, individual, the creator, the author, the being in you who is responsible for all these things, but it is not so. That is the truth, brothers and sisters. I have given food for thought. Don't just believe me, merely I said so. Even Buddha said so merely because I said that certain thing has happened this way, don't just believe it. think for yourself and justify whether it is true or not. And if it is true, take upon yourself to act on that truth. If it is not true, leave that aside till such time you give more thought to it and then find out exactly what it is, whether it is true or not. If it cannot be accepted, just dispel it out of your mind. That's the end of it. I give you this idea because you have to see that is the aspect that you have to see in the dukkha. That is the realistic aspect one would develop in oneself, you see, when he goes along the path to higher states. He sees more than what he sees on the surface. He sees the depth in that statement made by Buddha, that this is so, this is so. And the depth is, he is the realistic aspect, and that is wisdom. May you all attain Nibbana. Thank you.